Adelbod complex consists of more than 110 hectares of the best regions of the Alborz mountain sides. This region, which has good weather and is placed in the northernmost district of Tehran, has a history of 400 years. It is said that Safavid ancestors, who were the founders of the powerful Safavid dynasty in Iran, resided in this region when they wanted to visit the holy shrine of Hazrat Abdulazim Hassani, peace be upon him, in Ray City. Therefore, Sadabad was first considered as the summer resort of Safavid governors. For the same reason, the first buildings and constructions of this region belong to that time. As time passed and the governments changed in Iran, Tehran became the capital at last in the Qajar era, and Sadabad was extended. The most important palace of the Qajar dynasty at the end of their era was named Ahmad Shahi Palace. This two-floored building is a relic of that era, with its design and architecture particular to the Qajar era. It was a palace which, like any other palace, was not faithful to its owner and sent Ahmad Shah at a young age to an unwanted exile forever after the coup of Reza Khan. Reza Khan felt severe rancor toward the Qajar dynasty and its last king, Ahmad Shah. He ordered for a palace to be built next to the above-mentioned palace in the highest area of Sadabad, which was better and more luxurious than the Qajar palace. Due to the green stones from Khamse region in Zanjan, which are used in the facade of this palace, it is called the Green Palace, as well as the Stone Palace. Building this palace took 6 years, from 1922 to 1928. This palace has two floors. The ground floor was used as the office of the first Pahlavi monarch. It was in this palace that dictators ruled over the country with the help of the English. The area of this palace is 1,203 square meters, and its architecture is a combination of European and Iranian styles. Sadabad complex had a smaller area at the time of Qajar, but at the time of the first Pahlavi monarch, it was extended very quickly and was the main residence of the newly crowned family of the first Pahlavi monarch. Many of the local owners of these lands, such as Ibrahim Ali Khan, had to submit the lands around Sadabad complex to Reza Khan without receiving any money. Mr. Mohammad Reza Moradi worked in the royal court before the Islamic Revolution. At present, he is working in the museums of Sadabad complex. In 1978, Moradi was responsible for protecting royal containers in Niavaran Palace.
در اینجا که من کار میکنم هست مدارکی که نشون میده که زمانی که رضا شاه در رأس قدرت بود املاکی رو از یک عده‌ای با یه مبالغی که تقریبا میشه گفت هیچ گرفت یا خرید. هنوز یه همچین مدارکی در اینجا پیدا میشه که زمان رضا شاه چنین اتفاقایی افتاد. به طبع اگر همون موضوع رو ما بستش بدیم به سعدآباد هم همین موضوع برمیخوره. یعنی سعدآباد 110 هکتار نبود اولش، یک کاخی بودش، حالا چند هکتار من نمیدونم، اطراف اینجا باغ‌های بزرگ و کوچکی بود. خب چون زمان قاجاریه یکی از جاهایی بودش که احمدشاه اینجا سکونت داشت، به تبع رضا شاه هم بعد از اون مایل بود که اینجا باشه. کاخ سبز رو مثلا خب همون زمان ساختن و آمادش کردن برای اینکه رضا شاه در اونجا زندگی بکنه. خونه ها و باغ هایی که اطراف اون کاخ بود یواش یواش زمیمه شد به سعدآباد. این شد که سعدآباد شد 110 هکتار.
Although Reza Khan had rustic characteristics, his mingling with Qajar figures and the representatives of other European countries in Tehran had excessively cultivated the trait of ostentation and greed in him. His interest in gathering money, wealth, properties, jewelry, and different kinds of antiques from different parts of the world had increased his strictness toward the people for gaining these things. Obviously, whenever His Excellency liked a piece of land or a valuable object, its owner had to submit without asking for an explanation so that he could have control over his own life after that. These valuable and unique antiques were taken from their owners by his spies or were purchased for the palaces by the courtiers. His excessive interest in gathering valuable jewelry and ancient objects at such old age was obvious evidence of a governor who gained wealth and property by using force. Was dishonest wealth, and it wasn't evident that this wealth would always belong to its expropriator. In September 1941, when the first Pahlavi dictator had to leave office, he ordered some of his trustees, late on the night he was going to leave Tehran, to pack all his jewelry in different bags and boxes. This was jewelry he had gained during his 20-year government under the name of the king of the country and by various means. Ashraf's first husband reiterated the orders of Reza Shah to them. Servants carried the boxes containing jewelry, diamonds, rubies, and valuable objects in Reza Shah's car one after another. After those valuable objects were packed, Reza Shah was ready to leave the country. Nobody was seen around him. The dictator, in his well-known blue royal cloak, descended the stairs in twilight and left the palace of his dreams forever. Thank you. Later, when the people experienced a little freedom as a result of his absence in the country, a number of opposing members of the parliament called for research and investigation into the issue of the missing royal jewellery, but the issue didn't go further than mere speech. Nobody could gain exact information about the amount of the plundered wealth. On the way to Isfahan and Bandar Abbas, some of those boxes containing jewellery and valuable objects were stolen by his so-called friends, who were the spies of his English escort. Those boxes disappeared forever. Reza Shah and a number of his family members, servants and relatives boarded a container ship which had come to Bandar Abbas through arrangements made by English martial forces. After a long period of anxiety and confusion, stopping at some ports and cities, the passengers of the ship got off 20,000 kilometers away from Tehran on a far-off island named Maurice in South Africa. Reza Shah and his companions weren't allowed to communicate with Tehran through telegraph or letters. They were filled with fear and anxiety, as well as humiliation. At that time, they were getting acquainted with appalling aspects of life and government. They hadn't experienced such things before. In such circumstances, Reza Shah, who wasn't a king anymore, could understand the real meaning of being dethroned more than any other person. Some months later, as a result of Mohammad Reza's requests from the United States and British embassies, and under the pretext of the unconditional cooperations of the young king and his government with the victorious forces of World War II, these countries accepted to transfer what was called Reza Shah's corpse from South Africa to Egypt, and after some time, to Tehran. Under the command of Mohammad Reza Shah, a tomb was constructed for his father south of the holy shrine of Abdulazim Hassani, peace be upon him, in order to escape the blames of some countries and to commend his father. But this holy shrine was a place which Reza Khan didn't show any respect to. What was called the tomb of the great Reza Shah was visited by different people on different occasions at the time of Mohammad Reza Shah. After the Islamic Revolution of Iran, this place was changed a little, but there is no information showing that such a corpse was buried in this place. After the destiny of Reza Shah was determined, the palaces of Saadabad complex were ready to be divided among the heirs. The main heirs of Reza Shah, who were his children by his four wives in Tehran, all wanted their shares. These conflicts became more serious and led to the assault of the claimants. Mohammad Reza's full brother was mysteriously killed in a plane accident,